Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Dawn Stensland here. We have a lot going on with right here in Philadelphia. We have hundreds, if not thousands, of union members out in the picket lines. This is South Philadelphia, Packer Ave included in that. And this huge strike started 12:01 early this morning. And I know some of those guys and gals were out there picketing this morning before sunrise. So we're watching this strike very carefully, obviously impacting in total 45,000 union members. And this affects docks. This affects our economy because they're not loading up any goods that are coming into ports, such as here in Philadelphia and up and down the East Coast, as I've been talking about and monitoring the situation for you all morning long. So we'll watch this important strike. How many days will it go? And this could cost, if you will, our economy billions of dollars in just a week if this thing drags on. These are dock workers, and they're picketing here in Philadelphia, Port of Philadelphia, early this morning in the International Longshoremen's Association, ILA. So they're on strike right now. This impacts the entire nation, but it's East Coast, not West Coast. So the entire East Coast, and I'll mention Gulf Coast. 45,000 workers, Texas to Maine. They want better pay, higher pay, job security. What are they really worried about? Well, they're worried about protections against automation, robots. They don't want to be replaced by robots. And they say they are relatively lower paid when you think about all of the individuals, even my goodness, lifeguards, for example, in our area, making $16, $18, $21 an hour. And some of these dock workers don't make that. They're saying we deserve more. We want to get more money and get better benefits and especially get better protections. I'll just point out to you, last time port workers on the East and Gulf Coast went on strike, nearly 50 years ago, this was 1977. So a lot of times we hear about on the West Coast, they don't have it together as much as on the East Coast. We hear that all the time. We know that our folks, and I'm not being biased here, look at the numbers, are just better, more efficient, well-run. That's a general rule of thumb as opposed to their West Coast counterparts. And so they're saying, we get the job done and we work hard. We deserve the money. So show me the money. That's the headline for these workers this morning. We'll talk about all of it. Some important health news as far as who is now banning these types of red dyes and yellow dyes that are banned in parts of Europe and Italy. Where is that happening in the USA? And a new tick-borne disease striking our area the first time in our nation's history. We'll get to all of it, but we want to welcome in my next guest. Recently saw her actually at a big event, and this is a decorated veteran businesswoman, Stacey Garrity, who is, yes, a redheaded woman. Thank you, Dan Borowski, our great executive producer. We're thinking of a redheaded woman song, this one by Springsteen, but state treasurer, quite successful, known in particular for making sure that you get your stuff back from the state treasurer, has been good with that campaign. Stacey, good morning. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Dawn. Happy to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It was great to see you recently at a great event in Montgomery County. So let's talk about it. I know that you are front and center on the Philadelphia Inquirer this morning. And getting a little a boost, if you will, from Governor Josh Shapiro. The headline in the Inquirer says that Governor Josh Shapiro is just staying out of this race, important race, not endorsing the Democrat, your opponent, who's a Democrat, Erin McClellan, for treasurer, for state treasurer. Apparently had a falling out with her, and she was not the Democrat's choice anyway. But your reaction to the fact that Governor Josh Shapiro, who says he's a very popular governor, if you look at the polls, he is. So do you consider this a little help from an unlikely friend?
Well, you know, quite honestly, Dawn, I'm not surprised that he's not supporting her because she is a very unserious candidate. I mean, she hasn't gotten one of her campaign finance reports correct. She did run a small business, but she ran it into the ground. She was sued when she ran for federal office. So she's run for 5 different offices in the last 10 years. And honestly, she has not been friendly to Governor Shapiro. She attacked him when he was being considered for vice president. And, you know, politics aside, to have a governor from your own state considered to be on a national ticket, that's a big deal. So to go after the governor from your own party, I thought, you know, I was wondering what she was thinking about. And she's gone after him on school vouchers. She's gone after the Keystone Saves program. So she's really at odds on a number of things with him.
The job that you have as the state treasurer and the treasurer's office in Pennsylvania, you are the top fiscal watchdog and responsible for saving and investing, obviously withdrawing, $150 billion. You really have control over that and watch over it, I should say, in state funds. And you're independent. It's a critical office, to just watch this. And I know that you're considered, I think you've always, I've never heard much controversy until maybe lately they were alleging that there were some campaign issues with you or finance issues and kind of rolling that and conflating that against your current opponent. I'm looking for anything tangible. Is there anything filed against you as far as those campaign allegations that I guess your opponent has made verbally?
I haven't heard about any. I mean, my campaign finance reports are to the penny. They are straight up great. Her last campaign finance report, she overstated it by $10,000. She had to go back and correct it. And if you put that into perspective, 10% of the Commonwealth's assets, which right now are at $170 billion, would be $17 billion. So I'm not sure if that's the individual we want, being the fiscal watchdog over that $170 billion of Commonwealth assets. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to talk about your background a little bit. And I know we haven't talked for a little bit, Stacey Garrity, but I know that, your background is ROTC, right? You have a military background, ROTC, and you're in college. You were actually deployed multiple times to Iraq, 1991, Operation Desert Storm, Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation Enduring Freedom, and you were awarded the Bronze Star twice for your exceptional service and received, multiple different awards, prestigious awards before retiring from the Army Reserve with the rank of Colonel. How much did your military experience help you do? I mean, first of all, you went on to have your own private business, but now to have this top job in Pennsylvania.
Well, honestly, I would have never ran for public office had I not hit my mandatory retirement date in the military, because serving was and is the honor of my lifetime. As you know, I was not supposed to win, Dawn. So every day that I get to wake up and serve the hardworking, people of Pennsylvania is truly a blessing to me. But I would say what has helped is, there are core leadership values in the military that I live 24/7. So they are loyalty, duty, respect, service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. And I would say, as far as the treasurer's office, the most important is obviously integrity.
As far as integrity, before the national media knew that you were a conservative woman, you made national media headlines when you were dubbed the angel in the desert for your perfect record overseeing those enemy combatants in Iraq. And there, at the time, there were, unfortunately, some scandals about alleged prisoner abuse, that sort of thing. You were hailed and profiled and made national news at that time. Angel in the desert. That's kind of a nice little title there when you talk about what's that?
It's a pretty badass nickname that she's
right?
got there.
yes, that was 2003-2004, featured on National Public Radio, NPR, actually.
Ooh.
And so they had met a detainee that said that I saved his life. And I'm not sure. I mean, I helped out a lot of, I helped out a lot of folks over there, because at that time, 03, 04, if you recall, it was kind of the wild, wild west. And, of course, I was in Camp Buka, which is in southern Iraq, nowhere near the other facility that got all the national attention. So they profiled me. And, it was quite interesting. But my last deployment, 2008-2009, I was acting battalion commander at Camp Buka again. And I had 7,000 detainees. I had death row, about 220 detainees. And we were the very first internment facility to have zero abuse allegations and zero escape attempts.
You know, you're a woman in a high office and an important office looking at fiscal clarity and transparency. You've talked a lot about that. And so a lot of people may say, well, Stacey Garrity, you as a woman, certainly a colonel, as you retired from the Army Reserve with the rank of colonel, certainly you believe in having women in these high profile places, such as President of the United States of America. So do you support that kind of candidacy because someone's a woman? Because someone's a woman, should she have, a better chance at succeeding in America? Do you subscribe to that?
You know, I really don't, Don, and I don't know if it's because of, I'm from very rural Pennsylvania, but I have never received a promotion or an award or an opportunity based on my gender. So I think it's always really important that we pick the most qualified, especially for these, you're going to have somebody be the commander in chief of the nation. I want absolutely the best qualified candidate.
You're from, born and bred, Bradford County, and I can't help but think of another, famous Pennsylvanian who was mayor there in that county, John Fetterman, who's a Democrat, has made a lot of headlines, obviously. Do you have anything in common with him? Did you two ever cross paths in Bradford?
Well, I'm from Bradford County. He's from Bradford, PA, which is McKean County. But I will tell you, we do have something in common, and that is our support for Israel.
Okay.
And you've probably seen, I've been in the news over the $20 million investment in Israel bonds five days after the Hamas attacks on October 7th. So I'm proud of the fact that Treasury has been invested in Israel bonds since 1993. And that includes investments made by treasurers from both political parties. And in fact, my predecessor invested $18 million, and he did it for the exact same good reasons that I did. So the investment is smart on a financial level because the bonds pay above market rates and Israel has never, ever defaulted. And of course, I think it's very smart to support an important American ally. Israel is our strongest ally in the Middle East, and I will always stand by them.
I would imagine, particularly because, Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, beginning tomorrow evening, then I think of October 7th, tragically, the one-year commemoration of the terrorist attacks on Israeli civilians, with still hostages, as I speak, being held against their will by their captors and a handful of them Americans. I would imagine this is something that takes front and center focus and perhaps is one of the reasons that Governor Josh Shapiro, who I think also agrees with your stance, is not taking any swipes at you.
Well, I have to tell you, that's probably a reason. I work well with his office. I mean, when you look at my opponent, one thing she did say was that if she didn't agree with a bill that the governor signs into legislation, that she would refuse to pay the invoices unless she was sued and lost by the state Supreme Court. So I don't think that we want a treasurer deciding what they're going to pay based on a personal viewpoint. So I'm sure that that's another thing that he appreciates about me.
So
I worked well on the Rainy Day Fund as well.
Yes. And I know the last time we talked, you were you've always had this campaign to tell people, you want to empty as far as the vault that is held for people who don't realize that they have lost, basically a lost and found. But I know that there was one story Dan was just calling to my attention that you had returned more than $57,000 of unclaimed property involving the Reading Fight and Phil's game.
She did have like a promotion, I think, at a Fight
cool.
and Phil's game. What's going on here?
I did. So, we've really made it a priority to try and get money back where it belongs, to, into the hands of the hardworking Pennsylvanians that earned it, because we do have $4.5 billion. And I always like to say, look, that's not the state's money. It doesn't belong to us, so let's get it back into the hands. So I've gone to a number of minor league games, and we've set up, you know, a booth and helped people look to see if they had any unclaimed property. And actually, last year, we hit a brand-new record of returns, almost $274 million. So quite proud of that. But you know what? There's a lot more to do. And especially right now in high inflationary times, a few hundred dollars can really help a family that may be struggling, you know, when they go to the grocery store or fill up their tank with gas.
Yeah, it's so important. What's the most bizarre thing that was ever, I mean, as far as something that was bizarre where somebody realized that they had money that was unspoken for that was theirs or a family member's?
So there were 2 million gold and platinum bars in a safe deposit box. So, of course, after 3 years of dormancy, it ends up coming to Treasury. And so I don't know how you misplaced $2 million in gold and platinum bars, but they discovered that they did. We found the owners, and we got it back to them. But, Don, I will tell you what my very favorite thing is in the vault, and that's the military decorations, which I say are priceless. So, again, we get those from abandoned safe deposit boxes. And since taking office, I've had the absolute honor of returning 443 military decorations, including 11 Purple Hearts and 3 Bronze Stars.
Yeah, it's so important. Wow. And overall, how much have you, I know Dan's whispering in my ear, Gold Bar Bob, somewhere there's a
Bob
inappropriate.
Show,
I was resisting, you know what I mean?
I'm all the way in PA. Yeah.
I'm not taking the low-hanging fruit there, Dan.
And before you go, Dawn, forward with this, I just want to say I Googled on the PA Treasury website, so patreasury.gov, you can search up your name. There is some unclaimed property for Dawn Stensland that you might need to collect.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Couple under 100s there.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So I'll have to... I'll have my husband do it. No, but it's true.
We can help you. Listen, 1 out of 10 Pennsylvanians has unclaimed property, and people say to me, oh, that's impossible. I don't have any. And those are always the people that have it. And they can be uncashed checks or rebates, you know, old bank accounts, stocks, bonds, you name it.
You know, it's such a divisive time to be in politics. And not that you're a lifer in the sense that you've done other things, as I said, military background, serving in our military honorably, and then going on to have your own business. But why even put yourself out there? I was looking you up, Stacey, and you're a beautiful woman. I saw you recently at an event, like I say, less than a week ago. And even there was I'm going to call them out, Penn Live. They had this picture of you in horribly lit, like they took the worst possible picture of a conservative woman. This is one of my complaints. And then your opponent, they make look like on the cover of Vogue with the touch-ups already. Like, not to go here, but I'm going here. Why would you even want to run as a conservative woman and be out there?
You know, I love the Commonwealth. I believe in this state, and I'm just proud to fight for Pennsylvania taxpayers, and that's exactly what I'll continue to do if voters give me a second term. But if they want to look at my record, we've basically broken every record at Treasury, yeah, from the unclaimed property, from the military decorations, cutting fees for the PA 529, almost $17 million. And we recently got upgraded to gold, and we are one of 2 gold plans in the entire nation to be rated gold. And then the last one I'll mention is PA ABLE, which is our program for people with disabilities. Those assets have tripled in the last 3 years, and we just did actually an event to celebrate crossing the $125 million threshold.
Well, Stacey Garrity, we'll leave it there for now. State Treasurer running to keep your job. So thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Stacey. You too. Take care. Thank you for getting in the redheaded woman. There's some dirty parts to this song, so we were making like sure that
you want a redheaded woman. I put on Cinnamon Girl by
Neil Young.
Girl. Yeah, this is maybe just that.
I knew you were doing redheaded.
Why are there no clean songs about redheaded women out there?
It's
right?
Like maybe it would help. You know what I mean?
Here's some Bruce for you.
Spice up the campaign.
He's so bad. You like Bruce? Listen to these noises. Sounds like he's being stepped on.
I know.
Yeah.
Why is it that some of our favorite people have to get out there and be in politics? They should provide
an escape.
It's not
even politics. It's just music. It's terrible.
No, it is not.
It is.
Some of his, I like his music. My husband.
How many times have you seen Bruce?
Oh, my goodness.
A lot?
A lot.
Really?
Larry and I have been.
Oh, you're one of those?
Well, Larry's a huge, you know, my husband's a huge fan. So we have been to, I've lost count over the years. Many. We left, one of our famous stories before we had kids.
So many you've lost
we left
count.
A wedding because we had these awesome tickets to a Springsteen concert.
Yeah.
You know, here in Philadelphia, this was years ago. And we left the wedding. We like changed into our jeans, like snuck out of the reception.
It's a status symbol.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. It's so you can say to your friends, I went to last night's Springsteen. Do you really actually want to go see Springsteen for the 88th time?
I don't now.
No?
I don't now. The last tickets Larry got, he took my son. He took one of the boys. He took Michael.
Uh-huh.
And that was up in State College.
Are the boys fans of Springsteen?
Michael.
What's the musical taste? Is it older
eclectic.
Music?
Eclectic.
Okay.
Very, very, both of them eclectic, but old school. They love, because there's no.
Are they listening to the new crap, though?
No, not really.
Okay. But my nephews love like the new rap and all. I just can't stand it.
I think my youngest does because of football. That's what they play when they work out.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, and Madden soundtrack for the video game is all that type. And yeah.
Yeah, but even Electric, was it Electric Factory? That's what we went to, Jeff Lynn's.
Okay.
That was because of Michael. That's why Larry got those tickets.
Oh, really?
And I didn't even know.
I love that.
If you look up Jeff Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
You'll say, oh, he wrote that. He wrote, this is his song. This, I had no idea because it's so, there's so
did
much.
Did you do like a bunch of ELO? Or what
was ELO that? I meant, not Electric Factory. Sorry.
Oh, I thought you were saying you went to the Electric Factory to see him.
No, ELO.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
No, you're fine.
If Larry's listening, he's laughing right now because I do that all the time. I don't really know music as far as all that, but I love it. When I hear it, I love it. I love concerts. Like, I'm so jealous of Phil Almquist. That he went to Stevie Nicks.
Are you, though?
Yeah, I would have loved that. It's so much fun.
As much as I love Phil, that's a lot of concerts that guy goes to.
It's fun.
It's like two. He's gone to like two in a day. And I just,
well, that's a little crazy.
Yeah, I can't handle
it. I like to kick back and relax.
It's impressive. I'll give him that.
But no, with Springsteen, it makes me sad. Like, why? Why do you have to be so political?
Yeah.
If somebody is a great actor or a great performer, just do what you do and just stay out of it.
Yeah, like someone like Mark Cuban, who I used to really idolize.
But he's not an entertainer.
He's not an entertainer, but I like Shark Tank, and he went to IU. He's a frat guy from IU, did a lot for the fraternities on the campus there. So had a lot of respect for him until recently. Now he's going way off the left end there.
I think he's probably thinking that he wants to run.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think that's...
How do you think he'd do?
He's testing the waters. Horribly.
Yeah.
I think he
like,
would
like
do...
a Mark Cuban and The Rock ticket?
Well, The Rock, I think, would do well.
Okay.
On the other hand.
Yeah, so The Rock as president and Cuban as Veep?
The Rock, somebody like that, I think, would do very well, especially with younger voters. But I don't really know his... You know, you'd have to see his policy, because you don't want a lightweight.
Don't give him any ideas.
I know.
Yeah.
No, he's talked about it.
Yeah.
But he's so wealthy.
I don't think The Rock wants anything to do with politics, to be quite honest.
I think he toyed with it for a while.
He did.
But I don't think anymore.
I mean, he was kind to conservatism to a degree. Like he wasn't like super lefty or anything, was he, The Rock?
I think that he's...
Was he? I don't really remember, to be quite honest, yeah.
We'll have to explore that. 855-839-1210. Want to get to some of the health news of the day. When is Caroline Leavitt with the Trump campaign?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock. So we'll get to her, a lot of questions for her ahead of tonight's Veep debate, but also Trump in those six states, well, in Georgia, one of six states just horribly hit by the devastating storms. And we'll be talking about this. It'll take years to recover.
What The Rock is cooking.
And that's important to me. And authenticity. We hear that word a lot. But that's important to me. And I feel like, and I mean, we could go down the well here, but there's in today's easy cancel culture world and cancel culture, woke culture, this culture, that culture, division, etc. That really bugs me. And in the spirit of that, you either
in the spirit of that, you either succumb and be what you think other people want you to be, or you go, well, no, that's not who I am. I'm going to be myself, and I'm going to be real. If you ask me something, a real answer is important, and the truthful answer is important, and that may get people upset. It may piss people off, and that's okay. But it took me some time to recognize that. At first, I was, in a way, adverse to fame, and I didn't understand the power of it, how it could swing both ways. And finally, as I got down the road a little bit and started achieving some notoriety, a little bit of success here and there, I start to realize, oh man, this is a superpower. The fame is a superpower when used correctly, I believe, when you can use it to influence people and also use it to influence other people in terms of, again, being direct and being honest.
So that is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, as he was really thinking out loud when asked about an endorsement. Remember in 2020, he had endorsed Joe Biden for president. This time around, he says, no, I'm going to keep my... He did not endorse Trump, but you heard what he said. He is saying that he's no longer endorsing Biden-Harris. When he was asked about this at the time, Biden was still running, but he has been silent. By the way, I believe that he is, as I recall, related to Vaisik Ahema, who's a family friend who was at our wedding years ago. But I think Vi had said that they were related.
Really?
I believe so.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So a little Philadelphia Eagles, you know, local guy connection.
I do have his endorsement back in 2020 of Biden, too.
Ever publicly endorsed a presidential candidate or a vice presidential candidate. So I figured let's kick this conversation off this way by me officially publicly endorsing you both.
Are you happy?
That was to Biden and Kamala.
Okay, so that was back then, and then he is really walking that back and, you know, has spoken out since then against this quote-unquote woke culture and now just kind of staying off to the sidelines. You know, my youngest son loves some of his workout videos that he posts on social media. Obviously, somebody as an athlete, as a movie star, wrestler, all of that, you know, he stays fit and puts nutrition and his fitness routines up there. I think the definition of the manly man. And so just to counter that, if we think about who would be if you were to look up the opposite of The Rock, just for some fun, what if we throw out some names? So who would be the unmanly man? Somebody who's a little effeminate, who's not a manly man.
Let's hear from Jason Miller of the Trump campaign during a press call, Don.
Walls is very good in debates. I want to repeat that. Tim Walls is very good in debates. Really good. He's been a politician for nearly 20 years. He'll be very well prepared for tomorrow night. He's not going to be the wildly gesticulating, effeminate caricature we see at rallies pointing to Kamala Harris and dancing about on the stage.
So that was Trump campaign senior advisor Jason Miller and talking about Governor Tim Walz. And obviously, first and foremost, when he says, oh, he's very good at this, they're trying to raise the bar for him, lower the bar for JD, and tee him up for a slam dunk, you know, tee up JD Vance for a slam dunk. But for, you know, the put down was, and I know Casey Hunt, the CNN anchor who he was on with, challenged him.
Laid into him.
Right?
Yeah.
When he said he's effeminate.
Yeah. And are you offended when you hear something like that, when he calls Walls effeminate?
Does anybody think that he's like a manly man?
Apparently, yeah.
I thought he kind of owned it.
I do. Yeah.
I thought that he was proud of that.
A new definition of masculinity.
Yeah, the beta.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. Let's just say Casey Hunt pushing Jason Miller on the comments of Walz being effeminate.
Jason, before I let you go, I do want to follow up on something we heard from you on that press call where you've referred to Tim Walz as effeminate. That stuck out to me. Why did you use that term?
Well, I mean, you look at the way that Tim Walz dances around on the stage. That's just the way that it struck me. And so that was my characterization. And that's Tim Walz. That's why I said he's kind of goofy, bounces around. He doesn't look like
goofy
a particularly...
Goofy and bouncing are not... I mean, the effeminate has a lot of specific connotations to it.
Well, goofy and bouncing around. It's not someone who comes across as this alpha male, someone who's a killer that's going to come out there and be sharp on the debate stage. But that's what we're going to see tonight with Tim Walz. Again, not to say that J.D. Vance isn't going to show up and do very well, but Tim Walz will be an absolute killer. He's not going to be this goofy caricature of himself as we normally see when he's on stage and doing the weird pointing thing to Kamala Harris. Tim Walz is good. I would say the advantage definitely goes to him since he's been doing this for so long. Let me tell you where J.D. Vance, though, is going to excel. Where he's going to excel is when he's talking about his humble upbringings as well as his military service. Also, nobody defends President Trump's record on building a great economy and securing our border better than J.D. Vance. That's where I think the matchup's going to be.
Yeah, so I think it's so funny that I think the producer got in her ear and said to Casey Hunt, the anchor, in her earpiece, you know, Casey, you know, you got to circle back on the issue of, you know, you can't call him effeminate. But the answer is, yeah, he's effeminate. He just is. I mean, even I wonder if Pete Buttigieg, who's helping him with the debate prep, I bet you Pete, who's not effeminate, is going like, yo, Tim, man up here, dude. Right? I mean, because he's helping. Because, come on.
Yeah.
He's
not much of the definition of masculinity, Tim Walz. How about Doug Emhoff? Do you think he is?
Important part or an interesting part of how people have talked about your role here is how your role has reshaped the perception of masculinity. And I'm not sure you planned on that, but you are an incredibly supportive spouse. Has that been an evolution for you? And do you think that's part of the role you might play as first gentleman?
It's funny. I've started to think a lot about this. I've always been like this. My dad was like this. And to me, it's the...
So the other piece of it is that I know the Casey Hunt, I think this morning or at another point, remember at the rally when Trump, was that last weekend? It all blends together, but Trump had called him, had said he was a moron.
Hold on. Here you go.
He's going up against a moron. A total moron. How she picked him is unbelievable. And I think it's a big factor. There's something wrong with that guy. He's sick. He went into the Michigan game the other day. He got booed out. I went into the Alabama game. The 120,000 people went crazy.
It went crazy, Don. It went crazy.
What I love about this, and I laugh because it's just, here's the thing. Normally, if you were advising somebody in a campaign, anybody else but Trump, and you said, like, you can't say that. But the thing about it is, that's part of who he is. You know, that's Trump. That's how he speaks. We all have relatives who just, he's saying it like it is. He thinks the guy is a total moron. Okay? And he just says it without...
Just speaking the truth.
Yeah. Right. He's just saying his truth. And after all, should we not all be able to speak our truth? I'm just saying.
Christie, who's got nothing going except I could be tougher on Trump. He's not tougher on anybody's slub.
It's like this guy. And normally, like, if I were at work and somebody said, I would say, stop. You know, that's. But he just, I don't know. He, the thing about it is, it's
a moron.
It's part of his.
A total moron.
In a way, if I'm running against him, I'm wearing that as a badge of honor,
Yeah. Quite
frankly.
What, that you're a moron?
That he calls me names.
Yeah.
If he's
irrelevant enough to be recognized.
That you're, yeah. Because if you're totally irrelevant, there's no nickname for you.
Is it no publicity is bad publicity?
That's right.
Yeah.
So if I'm the Walz campaign, I'm saying, yo, he's talking about me. That means he's worried about me. That's my take.
You think he is, though?
I think that with Walz, and I think mostly, what they know is that with the media teed up the way we know they're teed up, think about how, and Casey Hunt wasn't that bad, but last night I was flipping around, I was watching CNN, then I review it early in the wee hours of the morning, and some of the, like, Van Jones and some of the others on CNN, just brutal with how much they are just in the tank for Democrats. It's brutal.
Yeah, it's bad. If you, you're 100% right, though. If you watch that whole Casey Hunt interview from today, it's she's tried so hard to attack him. She asks him first, what was the first? Is Tim Walz a moron? And then she asks him halfway through again, well, do you think someone who is a moron could be good on a debate stage? And then the final question she asks, as you mentioned, seems like there's a producer in her ear saying, circle back, ask him about the you know, effeminate comments. Yeah, and it's the clearly in the pocket of Democrats at this point.
And by the way, the whole this is the whole piece of this. Whether or not you think it's professional, maybe you don't. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't think it's professional that, you know, Jason Miller, who has a job working for a campaign. Maybe you think it's unprofessional that he says another guy is effeminate. And that's just part of his vernacular, right?
Wildly gesticulating, effeminate caricature. We see at rallies.
Maybe you think that's unprofessional. Let me tell you something. Part of this, if I zoom out, is that part of this is that Casey Hunt, she might as well have like some black boots and a little black whip, because she wants to train you that you, male, you are not allowed to speak like that. Because, see, the training is the indoctrination, if you haven't gotten the memo, is that the media, and this is part of news media, it's a long part of entertainment media, that they don't want alpha males. This is how guys talk to each other. This is how guys will bust each other's chops, quite frankly, right? The reason I work well with guys is because I have a big brother. And it's proven. Look up studies. Women who have brothers do better in business, especially business where it's all male, because this is how guys talk to each other. It prepares you for business. It prepares you for life. It's tough.
He's going up against a moron.
So they're going to call you names. They're going to say stuff to you. You know they love you. They're your friend, but they bust your chops. Guys do this all the time. Guys, by the way, they'll talk about their weight, their statistic. Women, why is it that we as women, oh my goodness, I would never tell my weight ever. And I don't like to talk about my age. Why is that? Guys put it all out there on the table, and that makes them less vulnerable, right? It makes them tougher, and it makes them better in business. We as women should take a chapter out of that. But the piece of this is that I look at from this is maybe disagree with me, is that in the media, and especially even in, you know, television sitcoms and entertainment, in all of these different, especially, you know, NBC, what do they do? Do you ever notice this? The guy, especially the white guy, is the idiot. He's the fall guy. Oh, you're an idiot. Who's the hero? The woman, or maybe a minority guy. But even the minority guys, they start taking pot shots at. It has to be the woman as the hero. What is the psychological impact on males and men of all ages, right? It's that, oh, you need to know your place. You need to be the beta. And so it's an attack on masculinity. Certainly you've noticed this, but that's what this is all about. So it's not just Casey Hunt calling out one individual. It's crack the whip. No, no, no. You're not allowed to be a guy and talk like a guy and call that out. Exactly. Because that's what guys do. So I don't know if you disagree, agree, 855-839-1210, but it's an overall theme that Casey Hunt she's just following the orders, if you will. And so this is all a piece of the media, and it's why you see so many men rejecting so-called mainstream media. And why do you think, I'll key in, look at all the latest polls. Why do you think that the younger males, first-time voters, and this is 18 to 25, why is it that they're conservative? They're more conservative than those in the next up group, right? 25 to 32, whatever that category is. Why is it? You know why? Because these guys have had it already in school, and the attempted indoctrination of them, they've had it. They're sick of it. And so they're going to be a male, loud and proud. That's who they are. And they don't want to be put down anymore. And it's really a sin. What in education, we see it in media, it's wrong. And as a mom of boys, and a wife, and a daughter, and a sister, I'm saying, you be you. We should all celebrate who and what we are. But that's not what this is. And so Casey Hunt, all she's really doing is falling into line. I don't know, is there some kind of new training for this? But stop it already. Let the man speak the way he speaks. I'm just saying.
To your point on media bias, Media Research Council Center, Media Research Center, did a study on CBS. They monitored from July 21st until September 27th. And remember, CBS, if you're unaware, is holding that debate knife between Walls and Vance. So they did a little study and monitored 346 minutes of campaign coverage. That's 161 total stories on CBS Evening News and CBS Weekend News. They found that a coverage of Vice President Kamala Harris was extremely positive, 84%, while coverage of former President Trump had been lopsidedly negative at 79%. While there is far less discussion of vice presidential candidates, they found the same wild imbalance, finding 89% positive coverage for Democrat Waltz, 89% negative coverage for Republican Vance. Add it all up, coverage of the Democratic ticket on CBS Evening News was 85% positive versus 81% negative for the Republicans.
And that was CBS News?
Yes, ma'am.
And CBS News, number three of the so-called big three, but they're the lowest. I think ABC is still number one, or is Lester Holt. It depends on which time part, whether it's the Today Show or whether it's the evening news. But ABC and NBC, much higher. CBS, by far, falls behind them. So I will just say this, but you can tell when half the country sees that they are against men like J.D. Vance, who served in the military, combat veteran, they sense it and they don't like it. By the way, unfortunately, who watches TV news anymore? That's another issue.
Good point.
So here's the thing. We're October 1st, fall, when you think about two things. Fall football and high school football, right? I love it. I'm on the road all the time. And also just the fall trips. Maybe it's a one-day trip, a weekend trip to see our beautiful fall. I was just looking up the places, the most beautiful places across Pennsylvania, New Jersey to enjoy the change of the season, the fall leaves. So maybe you're hitting the roads and maybe you need to check in with my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles. They're going to help you find that luxury vehicle. You've been eyeing it. You've earned it. Now go get it with a little help from my friends. Piazza have thousands of new as well as certified pre-owned vehicles from brands such as Mercedes-Benz, Land Rover, Jaguar, Maserati, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, and more. Visit them, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. You can stop by one of their many Pennsylvania, Delaware, or New Jersey dealers, PIAZZA. PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Tell Dawn sent you. Breaking news as we look at the developing story in the Middle East. And remember, I had mentioned earlier that as Rosh Hashanah, you think about the Jewish New Year, those celebrations begin tomorrow evening. Now there's word Iran is preparing an imminent launch of a ballistic missile attack on Israel. And this is according to senior United States administration officials warning today the warning by the United States to Iran is you will face quote unquote severe consequences should this happen. So this is unfortunate that this crisis is heightening. And we've talked a lot about the fact that we have, you know, the airstrikes back and forth and a ground invasion by Israel into Lebanon as they try to go after Hezbollah. And just to update you, remember that over the weekend and into the wee hours, what would be our time yesterday morning, we had learned that Israel had taken out some top Hezbollah, you know, terrorist leaders, who then Hezbollah pushed back and said, hey, they're already replaced. So Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu saying today in a statement, Israel is facing, quote, large challenges as it is fighting an Iranian axis, and released a videotape statement actually urging the public to listen to public safety guidelines from the Army's Home Front Command. This is from the Israel standpoint, but he made no direct mention of a missile threat. But the word is now, and this is coming from Biden-Harris, the administration here in the United States of America, that this is an imminent launch by Iran of ballistic missile attacks on Israel. So we hope and pray that does not happen, but this is the latest breaking news. Around the corner, we will talk to Caroline Leavitt again from the Trump campaign and check in with Caroline as far as Trump, obviously in Georgia yesterday. And you'll hear from Trump as well. I know that he was in Erie, Pennsylvania on Sunday. So we'll talk to her about the campaign, some of the controversies, and then looking ahead to this evening as we think about the one and only scheduled debate among the vice presidential candidates. We'll get it all, and you'll get the full update live and local.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.